Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us on another episode of Ghost Stories with Angela. Apologies to everybody who's joining live via our live stream situation that we have going on. And my light just went out. We've been having some technical difficulties, you guys. That's why we started a bit late today. Technical diff. Sorry about that. So we're just going to jump right in before any more technical difficulties happen. Sometimes that happens when you're doing like spirity ghosty type things. All of a sudden things go haywire. See what I'm saying? Now I have light again. That's what happens when you talk about ghosts. They come play tricks on you. Okay. Typically, I have a cocktail every episode, but I'm feeling a little dehydrated in this winter weather. So, shout out to Perfect Hydration, pH, alkaline water, plus electrolytes for hooking us up with this water here at Ghost Stories with Angela. Cheers. Okay. We're going to jump right in and continue our series with haunted venues. Now, I've been touring for 13 years. And every venue that I go into most likely is haunted, for sure. And then I'll ask when I go in, I go, is this venue haunted? And they'll be like, no. And I'd be like, yeah, right. It probably is. You just don't want to say anything. Or you just don't know about it because these venues are hella old. And they got residual energy and spirits. And that's just how it works. So most likely they're haunted. So luckily in this series, I have some brave souls. They are brave enough to come on and share with us some real haunted stories of these venues. So this week, we have the managers of the Miami Improv. Please welcome Melissa and Justin to the show.
Thank you so much for having us.
Hey.
Hi, welcome you guys. I see you have your creepy background set for us.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I keep seeing somebody walk back there, and I keep looking back because it's scaring me.
It is.
I saw that, too, and I was like, you guys,
behind you.
Right now, yeah. Exactly. That is so cool. I got to get me one of those. I'm currently in a hotel room because I'm traveling on a road trip right now from L.A. to Nashville. So I'm in a hotel, which is why we had technical difficulties. But out there is a beautiful, beautiful parking lot. It is stunning. And then when I
how cold
it's, it's not the cold. I'm in Vegas, so it's regular.
Good.
Yeah.
It's just weather. It's regular. let's jump right in. So we have a few stories that you guys are going to share, and I'm very excited about this. So let's jump right into the first story. Tell us everything.
So this one actually comes from me. I've been with the company just about 14 years, heading in March.
Wow. And congrats.
Thank you so much. I've worked at all of the venues. So I've worked at the old Miami Improv. I worked in Fort Lauderdale on the Seminole grounds. I've worked in West Palm Beach and Arizona even. So the old Miami Improv was the oldest of them all. That was kind of like the original one that kind of brought all of my bosses together to, you know, make it into this and what it is now.
Let's talk about that old one for a second. Where was it at?
Coconut Grove. This was in Coconut Grove.
Which Coconut Grove just looks haunted. Right into the neighborhood terrifying. Already. And you're like, yes. Is everybody dead? What's happening?
Yes. Absolutely.
If you make it out alive.
Yeah. For more than one reason. Yeah, definitely.
Continue.
So I started when I was really young. I've always been a little scared of the dark, so to speak, because of, you know, being in Miami is such a like a spiritual environment that I've heard and I've seen so many things just even growing up. So I've always had that like look behind you, be careful kind of thing. So when I worked in the box office, it was when we were still doing like heavy, heavy press and we would open at 7:30 in the morning. So I would be there all by myself in this big old building. Sometimes it would even be just like breaking dawn when I would get in, depending on how early the interview was. So I would run right into the box office, sometimes even forgetting to clock in. And just lock myself in there until someone else came just because that building just had that vibe where you just felt like someone was always with you. So you just wanted to kind of be in a small area by yourself with the door in front of you, not behind you.
So you would forego clocking in just to get into the room. So where you're trying to get the improv owes you hella money because their venue
always
is
always adjusted. Yeah, it was always adjusted. But yeah, just such a scary room. So, you know, we've always heard stories even before I got there that things had happened. People would hear noises, even guests like walking to the bathroom would feel a little sketched out just because it just had that that energy to it. So we had this was actually my first experience, and I wouldn't want to say it was like a dark presence, but any presence, even a light presence, to me is scary. It just freaks me out. It always has.
That's what I'm saying. People are like, well, if it's a nice spirit, it's okay. I'm like, I don't want no
spirits. No, no spirits. Leave me alone, yes. Please. Enjoy your afterlife. Yeah. Let me live my current life.
Yeah, yeah.
So he would come every Tuesday. We had this show with Benji Brown, and he was a disabled veteran. So we always wanted to look out for him. This was kind of like his getaway for the week. This was me and this girl, Rosalind. So we were in the box office. So he would come through the wheelchair ramp because he was a disabled veteran, get his tickets, and he would always come to Tuesday night show. This was just his thing. He did it every week. He always came around the same time. We always heard him coming because the wheelchair ramp being in an old building, it would creak before he would get to the front of the box office. Mm-hmm. So one day he came, he would always order the same things. And that night he left early and didn't pay for his check. So we were a little weirded out. But, you know, we thought, okay, he just up and left.
Walked out on his check.
Well, not walked.
Listen.
Rolled.
He rolled out on his check. He was like, I've been coming here every week for I don't know how many years. Y'all owe me at least one comp. Thank you.
Yeah, so he left. He didn't say goodbye, which it was always his thing because the girl that worked with me was also his server because she doubled at night. So he didn't say goodbye. He just left. So we thought it was weird, but we're like, okay, he'll be here next week. We can square it away. Like nobody looked at it as a big deal because he was just every week, same time, like just that kind of regimen. So the next week comes, we're waiting. It's about afternoonish, maybe 12:31, and we hear the creaking. So we're like, oh, Gerald's coming. So we're waiting. We don't see him come to the window. So I was like, okay, let me go look to see if he like got lost, which he shouldn't, but let's just go check to see where he's at. So I go out to the area of the wheelchair ramp and I see nothing. So right, I'm a little weirded out, but I'm like, oh, somebody's messing with us. Let me go look around the building. So I go look around the whole building. Nobody's there. Go back to the box office. Don't think anything of it. As soon as I sit down, creak, hear it again. I'm like, okay, that's Gerald. It has to be him.
No.
Go look, nothing there. At this point, I'm sketched out, but I couldn't find anything, couldn't see anything. I convinced myself because of how scared I get of these things that it's just my head playing tricks on me because I was waiting for him. So about a week passes, maybe a little less, and his granddaughter, who we found out to be his granddaughter later, comes to the box office and thanks us. Before we even know what she's talking about, she just comes up to the window and she's like, I just really want to thank you guys. You made him a happy person. He loved coming here. He told me all about you and Rosalind. And I just want you guys to know that he passed away recently. And we're like, you know, we were taken back by it. Yeah. Although he was disabled, you know, he seemed in good shape. He spoke well. It wasn't like you thought anything was going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah. He was healthy.
Yes. So we asked her, like, oh, when did this happen? It happened that night that he left on his check. So he must have been feeling something to where she said that they found him in his home in the wheelchair from leaving the improv. Same clothing, because he would always send his grandchildren a picture of him. Like, I'm going out. That's why they all knew about us.
Oh.
So he left. I guess he felt something and didn't want anything to happen there. He lived real close by, left, and passed on. So she then says, he'll always be with you guys, which don't. Thank you, Gerald, for the when you were alive, but I'm scared. Be with them. Don't be with us.
Listen, Gerald, we don't need you to stay with us. Thank you so much. You know the show's what? Over. Don't worry about it. Your wings, yeah. We took care of your wings.
Yes.
Your Diet Coke is on us, Gerald. Pass on. Continue on. Shut up. So the wheelchair creaking.
It had to be him. There's no way. It was literally the timing, just because of the type of person he was. It was him. You cannot convince me of anything different.
What if it was like, okay, so I've heard so many different stories about ghosts, spirits, entities, like all the different things. And sometimes when people pass on, this is what I've heard, that they don't know that they've passed on. Like if it's happened suddenly or quickly. I remember I was watching this Netflix documentary and they were talking about in Japan after the big earthquake and tsunami, how so many people died, that there was a lot of paranormal activity afterwards from these ghosts getting into taxis. And a lot of taxi drivers were reporting that there was ghost incidences. Like, people would get in the car in the taxi and say, can you take me to my house? And they drive them there. When they get there, there's nobody in the back seat. Like, they're gone. Wow. And the drivers are reporting this, and they're like, they're not making this up because they have to pay for the fare now. Like, so
out of their own pocket, they want to pay
just for attention. So they're like, these people are not making it up. That warmed my heart. He wanted to say thank you and goodbye. Oh, thank you, Lady Ashley Gregory.
Yeah, thank you, Ashley.
Back to say thank you and goodbye. So he was saying on the Netflix doc, they were saying that these spirits, these ghosts were confused. They were trying to go home because they didn't know that they had died, and then their homes aren't there anymore because the tsunami wiped them out. And so they were just saying all that paranormal activity. So what if there was something like that with Gerald, mm-hmm. where he didn't know he passed on and he was coming every Tuesday?
He's coming to watch the show.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because to honor him, and this was actually Justin's idea, we would put a reserve sign at his table for a month straight, all four of those Tuesdays after he passed, with his name, Gerald Ford. And nobody could sit there because that was Gerald's table.
That we would put his food and his whatever he would order, we put it on the table, and that was his spot. Nobody could touch it.
Oh, that is so sweet. Did you tell his
kids
that? Did you take pictures?
Well, we actually invited them all out. Like, after his granddaughter came, they all came to a show just to like see what the hype was, because he really loved going to the improv and loved to laugh, and is really connected with the staff there and the comedians. Being, you know, Benji was always there every week, but he would bring in new people just the same. So he just thoroughly enjoyed that escape from his day-to-day life. Every week without fail, Gerald was with us. And after, apparently, too.
Wow, that is so special. And then now it's gone. Now the club's not even there no more. I wonder if Gerald still shows up and he's like,
I mean,
I think it's like a catering thing now. So
I could reach out to them, actually, because the Mermaid Catering, a friend of ours works there. Maybe they still hear that wheelchair ramp on Tuesdays.
Oh, my God. You have to call them and ask and find out, and then update me, and then I'll update everybody else and be like, y'all, guess what? Gerald still be showing up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That is insane. Okay. So that was Coconut Grove, Miami Improv.
Yeah.
Years ago. What's the other story you have?
So the other one was at the Fort Lauderdale Improv.
We actually have two from there, so
yeah, there's a few there. So Fort Lauderdale, for some people who don't know, is it's called the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel, because it's put on an Indian reservation. And you know, whenever there's an Indian reservation anywhere, there's always some type of weird energy that goes on in that place. There's a myth, a legend, whatever you want to call it, that the reason why the Dolphins haven't won a Super Bowl is because our stadium is built on an Indian burial ground. And until they move the stadium, we're never going to win a Super Bowl. But that's here nor there. Yeah, yeah. So this is a funny one, because
hilarious, but also
anything to give a reason for the Dolphins not winning, right?
Whatever. That's what we'll use as an excuse. So at this club, when we first got there, you know, a common thing in comedy clubs is for the staff to kind of hang out after a show, after they're counting their money or doing whatever. And there was a group that stayed behind one night, and they used to like to play games. You know, they would have game nights, so they would play whatever it was. Board games, Monopoly, Trouble, all these different things. And one night, a girl decided to pull out a Ouija board.
And, hell no.
So she pulls out this Ouija
board. Don't play with it. Yes. And a lot of people. Yes, Mickey. You don't do it.
Some of them wanted to say, some of them wanted to go. So a group stayed behind and they started playing this Ouija board. And you know me, I like to mess around. I'm the jokester. I like to prank people, whatever. So the end of the night, I grab my bag. I say goodbye. I'm walking out. And as I'm walking out the back, so the Fort Lauderdale Improv was kind of like a circle. So there was doors at every spot that you can think of.
Yeah.
So as I'm walking out to my car, the main door where the girls were playing their game at was right by my car. So I thought it would be funny to walk up to them and like bang on the door. And I could hear the screams from the inside, like, ah. And I was like, you know, funny. I go home. the next day I come back and everybody who stayed behind just had this weird like look on their face, like they didn't sleep. It was just a
like
weird
defeated night.
Yeah, like it was weird. So they're sitting around during shift meeting talking about last night we were playing the Ouija board, and I'm waiting to hear the story so I can tell them like, oh, it was me, I'm the one who knocked on the door that time when you heard it. And as I'm hearing the stories, it wasn't just one knock. The knocks kept happening throughout the night and from different areas in the showroom. So where I would say there's different doors, there would be a knock over here, there would be a knock over there, there would be knocks on different areas throughout the whole night. And I left. I did it one time. I only did it once and I left. So whatever they experienced that night was just something that was different. And like I said, you know, I wasn't there to actually witness it, but from the stories that they were telling and the way the look on their faces were, it was just one of those that it was like, are you guys all right?
Oh, well, that scared me.
That I know. I was like, wait, that's that scared me right now. That's a new ghost.
Yeah, Fort Lauderdale felt more menacing being inside of it. Just even like piggybacking off of his story, what happened to me there. So we work together. We've always worked together and we close together. But when he has press, like, and you know, Friday, Saturday, you're up at 5 a.m. So I would always close alone on Thursday nights. We had 2 shows. So it was a very late night. Like our second show didn't start to about 10:30 p.m. So I'm talking about 3 o'clock, 3:30 in the morning, the 3:30 in the morning witching hour, which, you know, very much so linked to that paranormal activity. So
and if you're already in an area where the activity is heightened and you're at the witching hour, hell no.
It's like double time. You can't even talk about it. So we would, again, just sit in the office. This was the manager's office, and she helped me close since Justin would leave, you know, just so I had someone there. Honestly, I'll admit it now. I had her help me close because I was genuinely scared to be alone in that building. And that's 1,000% just the fact of what it is. I was scared to be alone in that building.
I would do the same thing. I'd be like, listen, girl, I'm going to be counting these dollars, and I'm going to need you to just count them right after me.
Sure. Yeah, that's like we would – our walkthrough, we would just run, like, all right, doors are locked, lights are up, run, and just like get out of the showroom. So in the office, you had the screens. So we had all the cameras that were throughout the building. So you had the showroom, the lobby, the bathroom, and it was 16 screens. And you could, it was basically like a live feed, but it would black out until there was motion. So once there would be motion, a little red camera icon would kind of pop on. So I never wanted to look at this camera because I always felt like I'm going to see something. Let me just get through the work. But it was to my left, so it always grabbed my attention if something was on for a longer period of time. So we heard where you remember where the office was in Fort Lauderdale? Like where the green room, office, and then showrooms right down that hallway.
Uh-huh. And we'd be sharing a bathroom. Uh-huh.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Where you can hear everything. You can hear you can hear the showroom. You can hear everything through those doors. Because again, like he said, so many doors. Everything was just an echo. You heard everything going on in the building. So we heard something like furniture moving. And when I say furniture moving, I don't mean like, you know, when you stack chairs, one could fall. I mean more like clunky, like just moving, like, okay, someone's in the building, what's going on? So before as I'm going to look at the screen to see what's going on, that red icon pops on. Mm-mm. And it like flashes like a white orb. It almost like that. That was weird. So So like that, to where you couldn't see what was on the screen, you only saw that white orb. And it lasted a few seconds, but it was the camera facing the chairs in the showroom. Kind of like what we heard, the moving around chairs. So as soon as it comes back on, there's 3 or 4 chairs that were like thrown on the floor, stacked. And when I say stacked, I don't mean like thrown on top of each other. I mean like stacked.
Like somebody put them
like weirdly so, like stacked on top of each other.
Yeah.
And when I tell you, you know that feeling you get of dread and doom?
Yes.
I felt dread and instant doom. Like it was probably one of the scariest experiences of my life. Like, we got out of there after that. We closed, we ran, and it was just probably, I was talking to the girl that I was with about it because she still works for us, and she got chills the minute I brought it up. It was one of those where you just felt like negative, not happy, menacing, like almost poltergeist-like energy. And I still get scared talking about it. I mean, terrifying.
First of all, I would have been holding hands with my homegirl on the way out.
We were.
Look, girl, let's get through this together, okay? When I push the door open, you run. If I fall, then, girl, tell my family I love them. I would sacrifice myself. Oh, my God. So then you had to come back the next day?
So
no, she got home and was like, wake up. I just saw a ghost. And I'm like, I got radio.
He thought I was messing with him. I was like shaking.
I got radio. Oh. I'm straight.
It was terrifying. Like, and then I, like after that, so I was never alone in that building. Again, Chelsea would always stay with me. And we never, like, I didn't look at the screen of the cameras ever after that. Like, yeah. I turned it around because it was to the left of my desk where that green room bathroom door was. I turned it to where I couldn't even see it in my peripheral. It was one of those, like, you'd rather not even know.
You know what was weird about that room was that, you know, like, okay, everything's done. You turn everything off and everything's locked and ready. You're ready to walk out the door. And you know, you ever have that feeling of like, did I lock that door? Like, you always have to like, you always have to go back. But now everything's off, the lights, everything. So there's no, you have to be going through with the light of your phone and be walking by like this.
Pitch black.
And it's like, it was one of those feelings, you know, it's like you felt, you just, if I'm running through to check a door and running back, I just felt like I wasn't alone. You know, it was one of those weird things. Like, somebody's here watching me run back and forth with this light on my phone. Yeah.
No, just that visual of somebody watching you.
Imagine they're just like there. Watching you go back and forth.
You never know what it is. You know, being that, you know, that area of Seminole has been around forever. And it used to be,
God, she's back.
And she's so scary. I don't know why we picked her. Hope she's not scaring some of y'all.
Wait, so was this incident, the chair incident, before or after the Ouija board incident?
I want to say after.
Yeah, it was after.
He did that Ouija board incident when I was working in West Palm Beach.
It was as soon as I got there. You know, it was like when Miami closed that we went to Fort Lauderdale.
I went to West Palm Beach to Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, she wasn't there for the Ouija board.
Definitely
yeah.
after. And who knows what we opened up that day and what they invited into the room.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we talked to David Williams, San Jose Improv manager, last episode, and he kind of had a similar thing where he was talking about locking up and having that feeling of, did I lock that last door? Mm-hmm. Or his alarm system would show him that one of the doors wasn't locked all the way or whatever it was, and having to go all the way back and just like running to get
like if you're being chased. Hey, it's a scary feeling.
I'm grown and I'm running to that show like a little kid trying to make sure I get back.
And I'm like cheering him on. You go, babe, get that door. I'll be over here if you need me.
you run yelling noises like la 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 la.
I'm bigger than you.
I'll take everybody out.
I'm not scared.
Yeah.
Who wants it?
You're scared.
Yeah. I will fight you, ghost.
What are you waiting for, huh?
Jess says, my son said he felt something cold at my dad's house. He passed away in that house. I think it's my dad.
That happened to me. I grew up in a house that happened to me. And it was a cold every night.
This story.
There was where I grew up. All right, so you know Miami, like she was saying before, a big thing down here is like Santeria. And a lot of people practice that religion and stuff like that. So I'm talking about you wake up in the morning and you're leaving your house and at the four-way stop sign, there's, I mean, I know this is a little graphic, but there's like chicken cut up. So the head is over here, the body's over here, and then the other stuff is over here. It's crazy. I woke up one morning and there was a cow tongue nailed to the tree.
No.
In the front yard. Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's like. Meant for like what? Is it like silencing or protecting?
I don't know.
But we were in the heart of it.
When
in our first
tongue.
Apartment, we were in the heart of Little Havana. So yeah. This was rampant.
Little Havana, yeah. A Street.
Listen, if that was a Mexican family, they would just take it off the nail, throw that in a taco.
And
roll
salsa?
Put a little sazon on it. You'll be all right. So I grew up in this house where I used to live with my dad. And then we didn't know about this until I want to say a year or two that we've already been living in the house that the neighbors told us the story. And they asked us, I remember one day we're outside cutting the grass and the neighbors asked us if we had felt any strange activities or anything going on. And so rewind a little bit. So from the start, whenever I would get there, I would sleep in this, you know, my bedroom. I would wake up in the morning and the sheets would be thrown off of the, like, onto the floor. I would have some of my trophies turned backwards. I remember the dog.
How old are you at this point? How old are you?
6, 7, something like that. Maybe around that time.
So you're young. You're young. Young, you got very trophy, young. So you've been athletic since you was a baby. Okay, that's what you're trying to tell
you know
us.
It. You know it. All day, every day.
Ben had trophies. I was 6 months old. My trophies were on my shelf. Continue.
Yeah. I came out with a trophy, holding on to the trophy.
Number one birth that day.
The fastest birth in South Miami Hospital in 1987. So, what else? The dogs. I remember the dogs. You would wake up in the middle of the night and the dogs would be barking. And when you go to the living room, they're just barking at the corner of the wall at nothing. In certain areas of the house, it would get very cold, like very, very cold. Like you could be in one spot and it'll be freezing. And then you step to the side and it's not as cold. Just certain areas in the house would be very cold. So, these things would happen and I would tell my dad, and then he's like, you're probably just kicking the sheets off of you in the middle of the night. The dogs are probably just crazy. Just put on a sweater if you're cold, you know, all these different things to try to like be like whatever. So the neighbors were cutting grass one day and the neighbors are asking us if we've ever felt any strange activity. And then my dad looks at me and I'm like, see, I told you, like, I told you something was going on. So he called Santero. And they came to the house to do, it's called the, like, a limpieza, like, you know, a cleansing.
Like a cleansing, yeah.
Right.
To, like, get rid of anything that's before.
So when he got there, he said, yeah, there's definitely something going on in this house. So I remember, I wasn't there because my dad sent me to my mom's for the weekend. He's like, if whatever it is, I don't want you to be here for this. But
so wait, real quick, before you get into that part, how did your neighbors know to ask you?
Because they had been there forever. They were, you know, they had been there for 20 years. So the story is, the people who lived there right before us, the little girl was very sick. I think she had leukemia or some type of illness that she would have to stay home and she couldn't go to school a lot. And she got very depressed because she wanted to be in school. She couldn't go outside. She couldn't play. She had to be home because she was sick. So one day she took all of her meds at one time and OD'd and died in her bed, falling asleep. In her bedroom, which was my bedroom. So that was a story. And then the parents ended up moving away and the whole thing. Then we move into this house.
She keeps coming back.
So the neighbors, they had known this girl because they were there. You know, it was like the family had lived there for years. So they saw her when she was born. They saw her grow up. They saw her get sick. They saw the whole thing. So they know that, you know, I don't remember. I was young. I just remember cutting the grass and then hearing this guy tell my dad, "Have you felt anything?" And I was like, "Yeah, me all the time, like every day."
And let's go ahead and pause for 6-year-old cutting the grass. Okay, that's right. Way too young for
come
chores.
On now.
You met come his on dad. Now.
You know, you know my dad. Not just cutting the grass. I'm out there with a machete cutting trees.
Welcome to Miami, guys. Welcome.
All right.
Dad is no joke.
No joke. So he calls this guy to the house. And then when he's trying to do the cleansing of the house, he says, yes, there's a presence here. I want to do some things just to kind of see. Now, the thing that he did was, I remember so my dad said, you can't be here for this because we need to close your bedroom and we can't have anybody in or out. So they put sand. I want like on the doorstep of the of the door, right? They put sand and then they tape the outside and the inside of the door. And then they let it stay overnight. The next day you come back, the tape is unbroken. So that way you know nobody's been in and out of the door. Then they cut the tape. When you open the door, there's footprints on the sand. And it was the size of a little kid. So right there, they were like, yeah, there's a presence in this house. You guys can go about this a few ways. You can either leave or you can try to communicate and try to like squash the beef or whatever it was. And my dad didn't tell me this until after we got the new house. So this whole time I'm going back and he knew this the whole time.
He let him sleep alone.
And I'm there sleeping in this bedroom. Ooh. I remember, what was that movie? What Lies Beneath came out.
Oh, so scary.
I went to go watch What Lies Beneath in the movie theaters and I was so scared of the movie. And I was like, can I sleep with you in your bed? He was like, no, you know, you're grown now. You can't do that. You got to sleep in your bed. And I was like, okay. And I'm there like, okay.
Yes. Yo, could we exchange beds at least?
Yeah, no. Do you want to sleep in my race car bed and I sleep in your big king size bed? But yeah, that was
So you know what's crazy about that, real quick? A girl told me this, that her family practices Santeria. So for all of you listening, apparently, if you ever encounter a child that is a ghost, that is no ghost, that is no child, that is a demon.
Because
children do not come out as ghosts. It is merely a deception for these demons to infiltrate you and to get into your life. So do not believe it. Think about it. Every movie you see where this is rampant, where there's a child involved, they are not a child. They are always a demon. Just a little fun fact. Well, not so fun, but a fact.
Mm-mm.
Have fun sleeping tonight, guys.
Yeah. Seriously, I if we didn't have our technical difficulties and I was on my big machine here, I have some really cool creepy kid laughing sound effects.
I'm so happy you don't have that
perfectly with that story, but technical
difficulties. Like,
have you ever experienced anything?
So I don't have anything like firsthand like that, but the whole reason why I started this series is all of these venues that we travel to are haunted, like for sure haunted. The comedy clubs, especially the theaters that we're in, because these theaters are like old, and that's the San Jose Improv was built in like, I don't know, 18 something or the early 1900s. I forget what it was. There was a big fire. It was during vaudeville. There was a vaudeville show and all the actors lived at the theater and it caught fire and they all died in the theater and they just rebuilt over it and still have it there. So I'm like, okay, all these venues are haunted. But here's the thing. I feel like I have a good sense of if there's a negative energy or a negative presence, then I'm like, something don't feel right. But I have never felt anything in at Seminole Hard Rock. I didn't feel anything there. But I have different things that happen to me. Like I'll get like tired or I feel sad. So I feel like I'm learning to identify like symptoms or manifestations or like whatever it is. But there would be certain things where I'm like, I feel sad. I feel like
an empath. Whatever. And that's your connection to it.
Right. So that's what I'm saying.
Visual.
I would rarely be like, oh, there's an evil spirit here. I feel it. Like, I'm not like that kind. I just would like take on like feelings or whatever. But anyway, so my most crazy spiritual encounter incident was at a venue in Cleveland. And that was my scariest one. And I've told it on this show before, but basically the whole night was full of weird, crazy things happening from the time we walk up to the side door, the stage door, and the stage manager is there welcoming us. And we're like, hey, good to be here. First words out of my mouth is, the place haunted? Always. It was always my first question. And he's like, that's what they say. And he's like telling me, like, just like welcoming me. All of a sudden, the door starts closing, right? And then we're like looking like, that's weird, because it was maybe a little breeze. Like a little breeze, like just like my bang would like go like that. But it wasn't like hurricane winds or anything like that. It's just like a little breeze, or like that breeze would not have closed this door. Then I look, what is holding the door propped open is a metal cylinder block. There is no way that door could have closed. Anyway, that's how we were welcomed. As soon as I'm like, is this place haunted? It's all cylinder block move. The whole night was crazy full of things. My dog was scared of something. We were getting a tour of the venue because he was showing me like all the creepy place. It was the old Mason building.
Oh my God. That's terrifying.
And so he was giving me a tour of everything, and we got to this one hall, this one hallway, and my dog would not walk past it.
For real. Dogs know. Dogs know.
They see.
They know.
I have that video. I will send it to Ryan, see if he can upload it here and maybe we could share it. But I would have to find it. So that might take me a second. Anyways, that is insane. So Seminole, haunted. Coconut Grove, haunted. How about this new club? Any action there? Or is it too brand new?
It's funny that you say that, actually. It's brand new. but you always wonder, because this area used to be nothing. Yeah. What was here? And we haven't had any visual anything. I still get that weird feeling when I'm alone in the building. But one thing that has happened, and it's been like very frequent, is these glasses right here will shatter in people's hands. And I mean, out of nowhere. I thought the servers were messing with us. Like, you guys are breaking glassware. Just, it's okay. Accidents happen. Don't invent this story of shattering. But I experienced it firsthand, where you're literally holding a 16-ounce tall Libby glass, and it'll shatter into a massive amounts of pieces. And this happens to a lot of people often. Yeah. So that one thing has us doing a little research. You know, we'll bring Joel and Robbie into it, see if they can find out what this used to be, because it is very odd.
This area just used to be nothing back in the day. It just used to be like land, just grassland and a lot of cows and stuff like that. But
so who knows?
You know, in Miami, we have, what is it, the Biltmore. The Biltmore Hotel is, you know, known for being haunted, and
Al Capone
suite room. That you can't go to the 13th floor and all that stuff. And then the Insane Asylum on Chrome.
Oh, yeah. We saw it when we were young.
Yeah.
So Miami has its treats for sure.
Bruh. So creepy. Well, next time I can visit you guys, we'll have to do our own investigation.
Yeah, we'll give you a fun tour of some fun spots too.
Oh, yeah.
We've experienced sleep paralysis, where you can call it a sleep demon. I mean, we've seen, heard, and experienced quite a few things.
I've had sleep paralysis. Have you experienced it?
I had a friend of mine, a quick story, because I know I see the time there. But I fell asleep in my friend's house that her family used to do Santeria. And I turned to the right, and I'm like in the middle of sleep, and I saw a girl standing there, a little girl. And I thought, okay, it's my eyes playing tricks on me. So I turned back around on my back, and I felt something jump on me, which they told me was sleep paralysis. And I couldn't move. I couldn't scream. My eyes were rolling in the back of my head. I felt an intense pressure. I'm kicking and screaming in my head. The only reason that they came into the room was because they heard the sheets and everything thrashing. And they said when they found me that, like, my eyes were rolling in the back of my head, and that I was like doing that, laying down.
Oh, no. That feels like sleep paralysis 5.0.
To this day, Angela, I cannot sleep on my back. I could be super uncomfortable. I could be in pain, and it scares me. I cannot do it. Ooh. I won't do it.
Yeah, I feel like it always happens when you're on your back for some reason.
I feel like it only happens because you're like welcoming, you're inviting those spirits and those demons, like, just welcome, come in. No, that came out wrong, but you know what I mean.
there's definitely something with Florida, because I've had sleep paralysis many times, but a scary time that I did have it was in Tampa, actually. And I was sleeping at Manny's family's house. We went to visit. All of a sudden, I got sick out of nowhere, and maybe it was something spiritual happening, but all of a sudden I got a fever. All of a sudden I was like, "Ooh, I don't feel well." And they're like, "Oh, go lay down in Evalise's room." So then I go, and I'm laying down in our niece's room, and I'm laying there, and all of a sudden, like, I have this sleep paralysis start to happen, and I see this like visual of like almost like a cartoon type demon. Like, it didn't look like real, it looked like a cartoon demon, but it was like here, and it came so close to my face. So I was like trying to like wake up, and as the harder I would try, the closer it got to my face. And then when I finally woke up, it's almost like right as the thing was hitting my face is when I like woke up out of it,
like snapped out of it. It's so scary.
Yeah.
Have you ever researched sleep demons?
No.
Is don't that different? Do it.
Don't do it if you don't want to be up for 3 days.
They say that that sleep paralysis is a scientific way of explaining away demons, but in the church, it is a sleep demon that is trying to possess you.
Oh, no. I have not heard sleep demon.
Google. It's very scary. Go down that rabbit hole.
I may have to do that. You guys, I sent Ryan the video. I found the video of my dog in Cleveland. He's trying to upload it because this is a last minute addition that I didn't realize I was going to jump into this story. I should have had my videos ready. So if he can get it up, we'll just play that video.
Oh, man, though. Oh, my God. He literally just stopped in his track. Look at him. He's looking at something.
He's like backtracking.
oh no, that's not.
He's looking at you like, don't go over there.
Oh my god. Look at him. And he runs around, and when he was here, he ran everywhere.
Yeah.
He's looking at you like, don't go in there.
Like, stop, mom, let's go.
Yeah, and look at him. Watch.
He's scared. Oh, he's turning around. He doesn't want his back. Look at his tail and everything down.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Oh, something was there. That's where?
Cleveland.
Cleveland at a theater where things were happening all night. My phone was answering itself, music. I'll tell you one of the stories that was pre-Netso. It's the end of the night. So Manny and I, we share Spotify accounts. And then people are like, how come y'all don't just get family plan? Because we don't. We just share the same one and that's it.
Same music.
So we share Spotify account. And sometimes if I'm playing music and then he starts to play it, it'll kick me off. And then we'll go back and forth until one of us calls the other one. And is like, are you trying to listen to Spotify? I'm on Spotify right now. Oh, my bad. Right. That's our routine. Anyways. So that's happening. It's late at night. Everybody's already showered up on the bus. The last person is our merchandise girl, and she has to go in and take a shower. I was like, listen, I'm not going to let you go into this haunted place by yourself. And this is at the end of the night when hella haunted things already happened to us. So I was like, I will go with you, and I'll stand outside the shower while you're taking a shower. So she's in the shower. I'm playing Spotify music on my phone just so we don't have to listen to creepy noises. So we're listening to, like, I don't know, Frank Sinatra, something, Fly Me to the Moon, something happy, something fun. Keeps kicking me off. And I'm like, what the heck? So I keep pressing play. I text Manny and I'm like, babe, are you trying to listen to Spotify? He's like, no. And I was like, oh my God, that's weird. Well, anytime it kicks me off, it'll tell me, like, you could click, where is Spotify playing from? And it'll tell you, now playing from this iPhone, or now playing from iPhone, whatever it is. So I go, next time it kicks me off, I'm going to check to see who's playing it. Kicks me off. I check, and it says, now playing on Angela Johnson's iPad. And I'm like, huh, my iPad is in my backpack on the bus. That's strange. So I keep pressing play until she's out of the shower. Then we leave the venue. We're walking out. And I'm like, bye, ghost. We leave. We'll see you. We're out. Okay, bye. I get on the bus. I go to my backpack to find my iPad. I pull it out. The battery's dead.
Oh, my God.
Nah.
Stuff like that is so scary.
Mm-hmm. Hell no. And that night, Bonzo threw up on the bus, my dog.
Because he was anxious.
Yeah.
And he don't ever do that. And he threw up on the bus that night. And I was like,
terrifying.
Heck no. Mm-hmm. And then I started messaging people because I'm like, somebody help me. Did, like, my dog get, like, infiltrated by a demon while he threw up?
Oh, my God. Because that can happen, because it can go to them because they're smaller.
So they were saying, like, maybe he absorbed the energy and that was him, like, throwing it up. But he was, like, protecting
you. Oh, yeah.
He was, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That's poor Bonzo. Dogs know what's up. Anyway, you guys, these are some great stories that you shared with us. Thank you so much for being brave enough.
Thank you for having us.
To come on and share this and put that creepy image in the background. That was very entertaining. I can't wait to come back to Miami Improv. I know you guys are open right now. Who do you guys have coming up where people can come and get tickets?
Tony Hinchcliffe.
And Kill Tony Podcast. And Andrew Scholes. So we'll be doing multiple shows with him.
Craig Robinson.
Oh, that's a great one. Naeem Lin is also coming from the Plastic Cup Boys.
Wow, you guys got some good people coming up.
We're the only place open.
Come to Miami. You, everybody, if you're out there and your place is closed, we're safe, we're clean, we're sanitizing, and we're here to make you laugh.
Yes, I love that. Go to miamiimprov.com, get your tickets, everybody. Thank you guys so much for joining me. I love y'all. I can't wait to come
see you. Love you back.
See you soon.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you to everyone else for joining me tonight on a really great episode of Ghost Stories with Angela. Those were some really cool stories. And all these venues are haunted. Like, wherever you're going, if you're going to a concert, if you're going to a comedy show, most likely where you're sitting, that place haunted. That place got some spirits, got some ghosty ghosts. Anyways, thank you all for joining tonight. If you have a ghost story that you want to share, you want to come on the show and share the story with everybody on one of these episodes, go to angela.com/ghost stories. And you can listen to us on Spotify, on the podcast app, on wherever you stream your favorite podcast. You can now listen to us there. So thank you guys so much for joining. And until next time, we'll see ya.